Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We've been in Mark for a long time by this point. We've been starting here for many months, and we started from the beginning of Mark, and now we're nearing to the climax of his story. We've been here now for so many months, and does anyone actually remember what the whole theme of Mark is about? We said it many, many months ago, so it's okay if you don't remember. Right in the beginning of Mark, the king is all about the kingdom of God. You see, right in the beginning of Mark, Jesus comes after being tempted by the devil and says, "The time is now at hand, and the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark's entire gospel is a very quick one, full of action, full of purpose. We have gone through so many readings now in the past couple of months in the time of Pentecost, looking at the great deeds of Jesus, his healing of the sick, his giving the 5,000 loaves of bread and fish to the 5,000 to the men, besides women and children, loaves and fish. All these wonderful works that God has done. And yet, the theme is this: the kingdom of God is now at hand. Chapter 10 comes right before Jesus will go into Jerusalem, and the whole pageantry of the Passion will begin. So it takes time, a little bit, to go back and reflect upon the kingdom. Last week, we were actually here within this. We heard about, to enter into the kingdom of God, one must have faith like a child. Have you actually ever realized that Jesus never actually tells us what that actually means? I mean, many people have gone on to say, we must have faith like a child who trusts fully in God. And that is correct. But the Bible actually never tells us exactly, at least in Mark, what that means. Jesus never explains himself to his disciples. But we do have what it doesn't mean. We have an example of what the opposite looks like here in today's gospel. Once again, though, we have to remember they're about to go set up on a journey. And to rehash the gospel, they were going on this journey, and as they were setting out, a young man approaches him. And he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" Jesus looks at him and says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good save God alone. Do you know the commandments? Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not defraud. Do not give false testimony. Do not commit adultery. Honor your father and your mother." The young man says, "I have kept all of these from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all of your possessions and give them to the poor so that you may have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Now, when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowfully, for he had many possessions. It's a story that we're all familiar with. It's when we have Sunday school lessons about this when we were young. The young rich man comes up and gets turned away, goes home sorrowfully. And so we've taken this to not store up so much here on earth, that we should be more generous with what God has given us. And yes, that is true. But remember, Mark is about the kingdom of God. And chapter 10 especially about his kingdom. We saw here a young man who comes to Jesus. Now, when I read this as a kid, I always thought, how arrogant must this young man be? The thing that he has kept every single commandment. How many have you actually realized that? He says he has never once disobeyed his parents, that he's always honored them. He's never once coveted anything in his life. Raise your hands if you can actually admit to saying that you've never done any of those things at least once in your life. Okay, good. No one has raised their hands. We often think that this young man is just putting a pretense, trying to get too prideful of himself. But he isn't. This is the most remarkable thing. One of the more remarkable things about the story is that this young man is telling the truth. God, Jesus, does not chastise him for saying, "Of course you didn't keep all these things. How dare you lie to me?" No. Jesus looks on him and loves him. He does say, though, one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, so that you may have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. This young man was doing everything right. By all of the Old Testament law, by all of what needed to be done to be in God's kingdom, to remain a part of Israel, he did everything correct. He kept all of the commandments, at least the second table of them. He kept the traditions, the festivals. This young man was, quite frankly, better than almost any young man I can think of, quite certainly better than me, about keeping God's law. And yet, he went away sorrowful, for he had a great many possessions. And at this, I always raise a question in my head. Was he just being selfish? And is that the point of the story? Not. When the young man left, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Truly, it is difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." His disciples were pondering this. They didn't understand. And so Jesus turned to them and said, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven." For those of you who have worked on these quilts, you know how small a needle is. Or anyone who has worked with needle and thread, know how tiny the head of a needle can be. It's hard even to get a single strand of thread through sometimes, let alone a camel. It almost seems like a very funny, farcical image. And yet, it's true. The kingdom of God, for the longest time, here with the Israelites, all of was keeping about God's law, keeping in the right traditions. This young man thought he was part of God's kingdom. By keeping the traditions, the statutes of the law, this is what made you a member of the kingdom of God. But Jesus, right before this, remember, said, if anyone enters the kingdom of God, he must have faith like a child. One that accepts. One that trusts. This young man, he was a good man. By no means can we say otherwise. But that did not make him a member of the kingdom of God. Now, this is a very hard reality. For us, it's been a hard reality for the church at large for centuries, even into its foundations. It's very easy for us to think about the good deeds that we do, what we do that keeps us in the kingdom of God, or what makes us into the kingdom of God. Because having faith like a child? Well, isn't the Bible also say that when I believed as a child, I had faith of a child, but now as I've grown up? I mean, it almost sounds contradictory. It almost sounds confusing. Of course we're going to be able to do good things, right? That's good. To be kept in the kingdom of God, I mean, we should be doing good works, right? That's the point, right? But it's not. Because good works don't keep you in the kingdom. We were just discussing this in our Bible study that we've been having here in the service in between the 8 a.m. and 10:45 service, going through the different Christianity in America, looking at some of these things. There's this idea of pride, then, when it comes to good works that can infect our faith. This idea that, oh, look at what I do. Look how strong my faith is. I say my prayers regularly. I do all of this good for the church and for the world around me. Look how good I am doing, coming here every single Sunday and doing such a wonderful job of being in the faith. Surely this makes me a better standing with God. Surely God will bless me if I do X, Y, or Z. That's an indication of strong faith, right? Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you think your standing with God isn't so good. Oh no, I haven't prayed that much to Him. Or maybe you've done something so bad that you think, oh, God can never forgive me for this. When it comes to our own works, and even with our own faith and what we do, if we rely on that to be the indication of being in the kingdom of God, that's shaky. The young man went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. But how often do we walk away sorrowfully when we look at our own lives, see what we can do, see everything that we have done, and know that it's not enough? Truly, it would be easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a man to rely on his own works and go into the kingdom of God. This is a harsh saying. It's difficult, downright impossible. When the disciples heard this message from Christ, they were alarmed. And they said, then who can be saved? They were desperate. They were hungry. They were wanting something of assurance. They were wanting something to know that they were in the kingdom, or that it would even be possible to be part of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus speaks. If I could just choose one verse, one phrase, what Christ said, to summarize the whole Gospel of Mark when talking about the kingdom of God, it would be these words that Jesus says. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. When Christ came to this world, he was truly put up against an impossible task. We were separate, all mankind was separate from God. Even when God gave them all of these laws to do, the children of Israel fell away. We saw that in Amos today in our Old Testament reading. People were swindling each other, bribing just to get into the gates of Jerusalem, not turning to the way of God. So yes, Amos went and said, go back and do the commandments, but even then it was not enough. You couldn't enter into the kingdom of God in this manner. Nor could you stay in the kingdom of God in this manner. But Christ comes into the world. Christ came and he said, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe in the gospel. And the gospel is this, that Christ Jesus has come into this world, that he, in no other way, is the way into eternal life. He has kept us in the kingdom. He places us in the kingdom. The payment isn't through good works. It isn't through keeping the commandments. The payment is in blood. His blood on the cross, shed for you and me for the forgiveness of all of our sins. He keeps us in the kingdom. We know this is true because God raised him from the dead, put him at his side in heaven, and even now advocates for us. So when God looks upon us, he doesn't see a list of criteria, things that need to be done, and all the sinful things that need to be done to be put in his kingdom. He sees Jesus, and we are in his kingdom. And nothing will take us away from that kingdom. For he has promised that not one will leave his hand. And this is the good news. This is what it means. Because by man this was impossible, but with God all things are possible. We are here in God's kingdom. Now, it does not mean that we don't do good works. Of course we do. But they're not to keep us here in the kingdom of God. They're to help one another, to support one another, to pray for one another. We do the good deeds because they uplift us in God's kingdom. But we are in the kingdom right here on this earth. And that we know that God will come again into this earth and make an eternal kingdom that will have no end. It'll be glorious. It'll be wonderful. But until that time comes, we have faith that we know we are God's. We know that we are in His kingdom, not by what we do, but because of God. So come, let us be in God's kingdom. Let us work within His kingdom to help one another, support one another. Let us go to God in all things in prayer, and in all things remember that we are in the kingdom of Christ, because with God, truly all things are possible. Amen.